Hello and welcome to another episode of Pinot and Perfume. I am your host, Sarah Chacone, and we are in October. It is my favorite month, the best month, in my opinion, out of the 12. It's my birthday month. You got Halloween. Apparently, Disney World is also an October baby. October 1st was the actual 50th anniversary of Disney World. No, I did not go. I can think of 10 other things I would rather do than go to a packed theme park and stand in line trying to get some 50-year anniversary merch. No, thank you. I saw a vlog. Somebody did Brave. They went on Friday, and they did go and Brave the crowds. And the lines to get merch and even Starbucks were friggin' astronomical. So that sounds like my worst nightmare. I didn't go. I haven't been to Disney in a while. We used to be pass holders, but with COVID, sorry, I had to take a sip of my soda. I'm drinking Fever Tree Sparkling Pink Grapefruit, FYI, alcohol-free. It's just a little bougie soda we got at Costco. But yeah, my husband and I used to be pass holders. And I feel like the golden years when we were pass holders are long gone. We used to have such a good time. I'm trying to think of the dates. We got married in 2017. So yeah, like 2015, 2014, like 2015, 2016, those were fun. Like I felt like we were going to Disney a lot and not just to do like a full day at the parks. It was since we didn't live in Orlando at the time, but we lived outside of Lakeland. And so it wasn't a huge trek. And it would be like on a Saturday at like 4 in the afternoon, and we were both bored and we're like, hey, let's go to Disney. And that's the perk of being a local and having a pass holder. You can go whenever you want. You don't have to worry about making the most out of your park visit because you can always come back. But then with it, like, crowds got worse over the years. Then you had COVID, and then it was like, I don't want to make a reservation. And then finding out that you still had to deal with long lines because of the social distancing, not everything being open. It just sounded like a huge mess that neither one of us wanted to deal with. So we went a couple times before COVID, and the crowds were just insane. And then after COVID, like, we didn't even want to deal with that. And walking around the park with a mask, like, not that we're like my freedoms, like anti-maskers or anything like that. But the idea of walking around on a hot Florida day with a mask on just did not sound appealing to either one of us. I mean, kill us both and then bury our bodies in the Seven Seas Lagoon. So yeah, but apparently Disney turned 50 on Friday, which was first day of October. So another October baby. We're fully into fall. It's just a fun ass month. So I was hoping that baby girl would be an October baby as well. A Halloween baby. That would be so cute to do like the little birth announcement saying like, to mail it off to family and friends to be like, we welcome the newest little ghoul to the family. Doesn't look like that may not happen. Basically, she is Breach. So I'm pretty sure she's been Breach like this whole time. Every single time we've got an ultrasound, she's been in the Breach position, and she still hasn't turned. Now, there's time. She could turn before my due date in November, but I don't know. We got to do some techniques. There's some techniques you could do to encourage them to flip, but if not, I've got a C-section tentatively scheduled for early November. So if she doesn't flip, a natural birth will not be happening, which means the possibility of her being an October baby will probably not, is not a possibility anymore. She would be a November baby. But I mean, our birthdays are actually won't be too far apart if she's born on her C-section date, like 4 days apart. So, not too bad. She'll be a fall baby, but yeah, she won't be a Halloween baby and she won't be an October baby, which is kind of a bummer, but whatever. As long as she's a healthy baby, I don't care. So with all that being said, let's get into scent of the week. All right. So this week's scent of the week is from the house of my fragrance husband, Killian, and it is Moonlight in Heaven. I thought my nose was broken when I smelled this fragrance because I was getting something completely different than what reviewers on Parfumo and Fragrantica were getting, but I feel vindicated. I felt vindicated actually before I started recording when I looked up the description of Moonlight in Heaven straight from the horse's mouth on the By Killian website, and I feel vindicated. Before I get into that, let me just tell you the notes in this perfume. So your top notes are lemon, grapefruit, and pink pepper. Your middle notes are coconut milk, rice, mango, and jasmine sambac. Your bottom notes are tonka bean and vetiver. Now, the reviews that I were reading were like, this is tropical. It smells like a Thai mango sticky rice. It's a gourmand. It's a tropical drink at night in Bali. Like, all the reviews were talking about how fruity and tropical and sweet and sticky because of the coconut milk and the rice and the mango it was. I didn't get any of that shit. To me, and this is where on my first impression, I was like, maybe my sample's off or maybe I'm having a stroke, but that doesn't come across like any of those things to me. To me, it came across as very fresh and even aquatic. Like, my first thought was like very much a summertime, a light summertime freshy, you know, being on a boat, kind of like not light blue. It doesn't smell anything like, can't speak. It does not smell anything like light blue, but it's light blue adjacent. It gives me that same vibe. Is that same fresh? I didn't really get citrus. It just smelled clean. Like, it's like you could either go on a boat and spray it down and it wouldn't be too overwhelming on a hot summer day, or just like spray yourself in this after getting out of the shower. This is a great out of the shower scent, because it is very clean. And that's what I was picking up. Very much, this is definitely unisex. To me, both men and women can wear this. But on me, I think I would prefer it more on a man. Not that it smells bad on me, but I would prefer this to smell this on a man. And so I was thinking, like, what is wrong with my nose? Like, is it complete? I knew it was trash, but is it complete trash? Because I don't get, it's so well blended. I don't pick up on any of the notes. Like, I didn't pick up on any citrus notes. I definitely didn't pick up on any coconut or rice or mango or jasmine. I definitely don't get the tonka and vetiver. I think it's just so well blended that it just all kind of comes together. I can't distinguish between any notes. I can't even pick out one note when I smell it. And usually, I mean, not that I'm like really great at distinguishing, like being like, oh, I get hints of, you know, whipped cream and praline. Like, I usually don't do that, but sometimes there'll be like one note that just sticks out, like a jasmine or a rose. And then the others will just kind of swirl together and give me like the rest of the fragrance's overall aura. This one, I can't even pick out one note. To me, it's just everything comes together to make this clean and crisp. And I would have said it's aquatic. And so I was like, okay, that's definitely different than what I have been reading on reviewers. And so I looked it up. I looked up Moonlight in Heaven on the By Killian website, and I feel vindicated. So I am going to read you the inspiration from the website and then the olfactive family. Because if you're not familiar with Killian fragrances, he has, well, I mean, I guess he organizes the fragrances by olfactive family, but they call them different. So you have the fresh, which are your freshies, the narcotics, which are like rolling in love, dangerous liaisons, good girl gone bad, love don't be shy. Those are in the narcotics. The cellars, which you have like straight to heaven, black phantom, a taste of heaven. You have the smokes, which, you know, light my fire, musk, oud. And then you have the liquors, which are your angel share, roses on ice, apple brandy on the rocks. So this falls under the fresh category. So inspiration. A dazzling beam of pearlized light dances on the ocean's belly, witnessed by two lovers who watch from a balcony draped in floating white opaque gauze that seems alive, responding to a warm wind that blows. The lovers, high above the world to almost touch the stars, with full hearts and bodies light as air. Olfactive family. Fresh. Composed with citrus, aldehydes, or aquatic notes, they bring freshness, lightness, and a serene feeling to Killian composition. So yeah, that's where I got vindicated. So this is designed to be a freshie. That does mention like it opens with like it's a citrus forward opening with lemon and grapefruit. And then you got spice with the pink pepper berry. But like I said, I don't get any particular notes. I just get an overall smell, which is clean and crisp and fresh. So my nose is not broken. I think all the people that are leaving a review for this fragrance that are calling it gourmand or like a tropical fruity drink or like freaking Thai mango sticky rice are full of shit. I think that they're just looking at the notes and trying to win a contest of who can, I don't know, write the most florally review of a fragrance and it not be accurate without worrying about accuracy, because who cares? It's just about who sounds the best, right? It's just like they're just like a circle jerk of a flowery language to describe this perfume, which reviews, if you're gonna leave a review, be honest, because there's no way people are picking out friggin' rice. No fucking way. Or like coconut. I mean, well, coconut's not hard, but like I side-eye people who are like, yeah, I get the rice note. Okay. Maybe in some fragrances you can get a rice note easier, because I know like Kenzo's got some with a rice note. And this one, I highly doubt, unless you are a trained nose, I doubt you're getting that. I'm just side-eyeing every single review that I read that talks about this being a gourmand. Like, you guys are all high. I don't care. I said it. You guys are high, and your reviews are trash, and they're not accurate. Okay, I had to get that off my chest. I feel vindicated. I don't feel like my sample has gone off, and I didn't have a stroke. This is a fresh fragrance. If you wear your fragrances by season, this would be a really good like spring summer. If you do it by occasion, I could see this would be a really good like office scent, because it's not overpowering. It's really not offensive. Like I said, it's very clean, a nice everyday clean signature scent, you know, if that's what you're into. So performance and longevity on me, I mean, Killian perfumes are hit or miss. I've got Princess that when I spray, I can smell her all day. Depending on how much I spray, if I were to spray her in the morning and we were to go out to dinner or do something that night, would I need to zhuzh her up? Yes. But I would say she could get me through a work day, depending on how much I spray. Black Phantom, I feel it's been a while. I feel like that one was pretty good. I don't remember. I'd have to go back and listen. Love Don't Be Shy, that one is, you definitely, I think I can get like a good 4, maybe 5 hours if I'm not like out and about in the heat, but that one's definitely one you have to reapply. This is no different. This I can get around a good 4 hours of performance, and then it would need to be reapplied. Projection, I don't think it's a crazy projection. It's like maybe an arm's length, and you'll get that probably within the first, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. And then it's fine. Like it's moderate, but it's not going to like enter a room before you do or like make a statement. So if that's kind of what you're into, I mean, this isn't going to be that. And again, longevity, it's moderate. Like I said, depending on how much you spray, it may or may not get you through a work day. I would say will get you on me. Well, on me, I get about 4, maybe 5 hours, depending on if I'm going to be inside all day or if I'm out and about. And also, caveat, I live in Florida, so it's still quite hot for the fall. So that's that. Like all of Killian's perfumes, it's not going to be cheap. So you've got a 50 milliliter refillable perfume spray, which is going to run you $245. If you want the full presentation with the coffret, which is like a little wooden box that it comes in. This one looks like it has a moon on just before it opens, which looks really cool. That's going to run you $330. And then just your plain refill, 50 milliliter refill, is going to run you $195. Can you find this cheaper elsewhere? Maybe on Mercari, if you want to play that game, take that gamble. I know Sephora online sells the Killian perfume. So if you wanted to wait until the VIB sale, or if you had a gift card or both, that's probably your best bet. And then if you have a lot of points, you can also get additional like 10 bucks off your order. So that would probably be, I would say that would be my best bet if I didn't want to gamble on Mercari and run across any shady sellers that try to scam me. I would try and get it during the Rouge VIB sale, stack any gift cards that I had on top of that. And then if I had points that got me $10 off, then I would throw that on there as well to get a cheaper deal than buying it full retail. But if you can afford, if you want to do the splurge, By Killian does have Afterpay. If you wanted to order straight from Killian's website, a lot of times when you order straight from the brand, it's complimentary shipping on all orders. Some may or may not have a price threshold. I don't think Killian does, because last year I ordered my Love Don't Be Shy purse spray, and that was like $42, and I didn't have to pay shipping. It was complimentary. So you do get complimentary shipping on all orders. I even think they offer complimentary, like maybe engraving, I think. That could be a lie. No, I don't see that. Okay, so not engraving. Some brands do. And you also get complimentary samples. And so that's where my Moonlight and Heaven sample came from, was when I got the Love Don't Be Shy purse spray. I could pick out a couple samples. Vodka on the Rocks was another one that I already reviewed on this show. And Moonlight in Heaven, which they are both in the same category, by the way, of being the fresh. So, and the sample sizes are pretty generous. I'd say they're about as generous as Maison Francis Kurkdjian, which I still don't know how to pronounce that man's name. That blog post that I ran across from, I think, the Perfume Society alleged it was like Korchon. But then I've heard people who like write about fragrance for a living and who have worked with the brand directly, and they're pronouncing it Kurkdjian. Are we all just pronouncing this poor man's name incorrectly? Is there a video that somebody can refer me to where Francis himself is saying how to pronounce his name? Because I really need to know, because I've heard it pronounced 6 ways to Sunday, and I don't know which one is correct or if any of them are correct. But yeah, going back to the samples, generous samples. So there are benefits to ordering from the Killian website. And like I said, if you don't have anything to stack with Sephora, or you don't want to wait until the sale comes around, they do have Afterpay on Killian's website. So that is a way to kind of break up the payments on this very expensive perfume. So would I buy this for myself? No, I mean, it's good, but I mean, I'm not a big freshie fan myself. Like I'm good with like one or two freshies in my collection. For me, Light Blue, Dolce & Gabbana, EDT, like the OG, that kind of scratches that itch. And then for like tropical, I've got Gwen Stefani G, because that smells like a pina colada. And then I have Escadas or Rock and Rio for like a little bit of sweet heat, you know, something sexy and sweet. And to me, those are like, oh, those are good. I don't need a ton of freshies. I've got some light florals for the spring and summer that could also, I don't know if they'd be considered fresh because they don't have citrus in them, but they're light. And that scratches that itch for me. Personally, I think it's a lovely scent. It's well blended. I don't know if it's worth the price considering how long it lasts, and not even projection aside, just how long it lasts. I don't think the price is worth it, to be completely honest. Like, it's not a scent that's unique enough to be to where I probably couldn't find something similar on a designer brand or a mainstream, or even like a maybe a cheaper niche. You could probably find something similar, or just go on a dupe house. I'm sure there's a dupe house somewhere that has a clone of Moonlight in Heaven that you can get for a fraction of the cost. To me, this didn't blow me away enough to want to own it. And again, I mean, it's for the price. Like, I don't think it's worth it. It's a beautiful fragrance, but I think you can find a similar fragrance that's just as good, cheaper, either secondhand, designer, cheaper niche, or clone. But that's just me. Do you like this perfume? Have you worn it? Have you sniffed it? Sampled it? What do you think? Do you agree with me? Is it worth the price, or would you splurge? I'm curious. All right, fragrance in the news. I've got three for you today, all kind of light. We'll start off with Anna from Bachelor in Paradise's Pheromone perfume. So all my Bachelor in Paradise fans, the last time I watched The Bachelor or Bachelorette or anything from that franchise was when Claire was on. And then it went to Tayshia, and I'd even watch Tayshia's portion of that shit show season. After that, I was like, I need a break from these dum-dums. Like, I couldn't. I was actually starting to feel that with Peter the Pilot season. And the only reason I started watching it in the first place was when I started at my now job that I've been at for like, was it 4 years? Yeah, 4 years. The girls there watched Bachelor in Paradise. They did the fantasy league, and I wanted to, you know, so I thought it was a good way to bond and get to know them. So I started watching it, and it was fun because we would talk about it at the office, but it's just, it was too much. Like, I love shitty reality TV shows. You know, I am a diehard Real Housewives fan. I've been watching that franchise since like, I don't know, 2010, somewhere around there. I can't with that. I'm still on a break from the Bachelor franchise. I'm bowing out of Bachelor Nation. That show's always been ridiculous, but it started to get even more so. And I just couldn't with all these dum-dums. But apparently this most recent season of Bachelor in Paradise, there was a contestant called Anna, who was apparently on Matt James's season. And she talked about she wore her pheromone perfume oil, which I guess made a big splash. She did end up scoring a date and making out with a date in the hot tub. So she claims it worked. I guess Wells, the bartender there, when he greeted her, he was like, wow, you smell really good. So of course it went viral and people wanted to know what the hell she was wearing. So her pheromone perfume is from a brand called Pure Instincts, and it's Pure Instincts Pheromone Perfume Oil. And it's on Amazon for $15, which is not bad. Pretty reasonable. And this is from Stylecaster, by the way. Links to show notes will be on the blog, and links to articles will be in the show notes and on the blog. But it's made with something called androstenone and copulin, which are two powerful human pheromones, and Pure Instinct allegedly imported them from Italy. They also mentioned that a study was published saying that copulin is a chemical secreted by vaginas that is shown to increase testosterone level and arousal in men. So you can wear it alone or layered with a perfume or cologne. It's supposed to blend with your skin pH to create a scent that is unique to you and to attract, you know, all the men or all the women or whoever, whoever you're into. So she allegedly layered, she came out on the scene and, you know, she came out and said that she wore it, but she also layered it with Glossier's You. And that's what Wells was speaking to when he was like, oh my God, you smell amazing. And she goes on and talks about how whenever she wears it, she always gets compliments on it, which I've heard that's a beautiful fragrance. It sounds very boring to me, but because Glossier is all about like minimalism. So I've heard it was like a you, but better, you know, yawn. But I mean, I have heard lots of good things. So maybe I'm the fool for missing out. But anyway, that's what she put on. She claims the pheromones must have worked because of her date. And there you have it. If you want to track your own, you know, bachelor contestant or just, you know, maybe just your own regular average Joe on the street, you know, go to the bar, see what you can attract. You can buy you some Glossier You, buy you some Pure Instinct pheromone oil and see what happens. I think pheromone oils or pheromone perfumes are gimmicky, but this one's cheap. I'd be tempted to like buy it and then see if it works on my husband. But then he'd probably be like, what did you buy on Amazon for $15? I don't know. I kind of want to test it, but not too bad. But I would just be curious to see if it would work on him. All right, moving on. This is from Yahoo Life, but I think it is an article from Who, What, Where. I think Yahoo just curates articles from around the web. So basically the title of this is I asked 17 NYC and LA women what perfume they wear the most. And I thought it might be kind of interesting to see what the ladies are wearing in these two cities. So in LA, we have Maison Louis Marie No. 4 Bois de Balancourt Eau de Parfum for $88. And the lady who was interviewed said that she likes it because it's earthy, fresh, and smells clean. Next up, we have YSL Lieb Eau de Parfum, the first one, not the Eau Intense. And they like it because it's a mixture of lavender essence and orange blossom with a hint of musk is a great mix of masculine and feminine, making it the perfect scent. After that, we have Chanel Le Lion, which is interesting. They said this person said it makes her feel like she's a queen in her castle and that it's unique and strong. After that, you got Byredo Young Rose Eau de Parfum, and they said this one balances Damascus rose with spicy Sichuan pepper, and there's got musk, ambroxan, ambrette seeds, and orris. It's floral, but not basic. After that, we've got Glossier. Excuse me, this pink grapefruit soda. We've got Glossier You. So we already kind of went over that. Then we have Chanel Chance Eau de Parfum, which is kind of, you know, it's one of those classics. They say it's warm and sultry, but still very approachable for daytime. After that, we've got Byredo Bal de Freak, which a lot of people seem to love. They said it's a balance between masculine and feminine. It's strong but not overwhelming and sexy but not overstated. Then you have Aesop Karst, which they said it's got sandalwood, you got juniper and cumin, and they really liked it. It's the wood makes it The juniper makes kind of gives it a fresh and herbaceous twist, while the cumin provides a little spice. Now for NYC, what are the ladies wearing in NYC? First up, we've got Le Labo Gaillac 10 Eau de Parfum. Ooh, that's $319. Whew, that is expensive. I guess it's from their city exclusive collection. You can only purchase it in Tokyo or order it online when it's available. They said it's cedar with musk, and it becomes magic once you spray it on your skin. After that, we've got Byredo, another Byredo Mixed Emotions. It's fruity, but then once it settles on the skin, it's peppery and creating a very addictive scent. Yeah. After that, we've got another one for Balta Freak. And then the cheapest one on this list, this lady is wearing Kiehl's Musk Eau de Toilette Spray. It's soft, unisex, and lasts super long, according to her, and it's $37. Now, then after that, we have Yvonne from Orme. And she said it's got hints of roses, and she likes the design of the bottle. And also, it's 100% natural and vegan fragrance. After that, we've got Portrait of a Lady from Frederick Mall, the House of Frederick Mall, but it's by Dominique Ropion. What are they saying about it? It's cozy with hints of raspberry, cinnamon, patchouli, amber, and sandalwood. They call it Fall in a Bottle. Hot, you know, shameless plug. I also reviewed Portrait of a Lady on this podcast. Just look back in past episodes. I'm pretty sure the name... Yeah, I think it's called Portrait of an Unwashed Woman, because that's some of the critiques that this fragrance has gotten. So then another one for Le Labo, it's the Noir 29 Eau de Parfum. They said it's like the chic older cousin of Santal 33. And it's got the spiciness and warmth of Santal 33, but the tea leaves makes it a bit softer. And there you have it. This is what the ladies in New York and LA are wearing. Got a weird mix. All right, last but not least, this is from southernliving.com. You got to say it in a southern accent. Basically, timeless fragrances. That's what's called timeless fragrances that will have everyone asking what you're wearing. Some of these choices, I feel like they phoned it in. They just probably needed filler. Because I'm just kind of like, First one they suggest is Marc Jacobs Daisy. I know people who like Daisy. I have sniffed Daisy on more than one occasion. I still could not tell you what it smells like. It's just kind of a forgettable fragrance to me. But it has been, it is kind of a classic. It's been around for a long time. I feel like it's a good, probably everyday scent or a signature scent if you're not, you know, you just want to smell good, but you don't want to like, have a bunch of perfumes in your wardrobe. You just like want one you can wear for everything. They said that it's got notes of strawberry, violet leaves, and jasmine, making it a sweet floral scent. So the second entry is what makes me side-eye this whole listicle. It's Elizabeth Taylor's White Diamonds. Now, I understand that Elizabeth Taylor's White Diamonds is a classic. I remember seeing the freaking commercials for it when I was a kid, the black and white. And she's like, these always brought me luck, you know, talking to some dude. I think the only thing in color was her eyes, because she has violet, she has like naturally violet eyes. Maybe I'm hallucinating or that never happens. But I feel like, or maybe it wasn't color. I don't know. In my head, it's in black and white. And then her eyes were in color, but that doesn't sound right. It probably is not right. Maybe. But either way, the scenario plays out the same. She plops a pair of her white diamond earrings in some handsome dude's hand and's like, these have always brought me luck. But I feel like it's a very heavy, suffocating, vintagey smell. I feel like a lot of us 90s babies our moms or our grandmothers probably wore this. That's what we remember this from, along with maybe an Avon scent or two. They said it's got notes of narcissus, gardenia, and lilies that will make you feel ready to walk the red carpet. A 3.3-ounce bottle is going to run you $69 if you buy it full price. Don't buy it full price. I always see it whenever I go to TJ Maxx or Marshall's, and you can get it for like half of that, probably a little bit more off. Don't pay full price for White Diamonds. Just don't do it. You can find that literally every mainstream discounter, not even online, not like FragranceNet, but like I said, TJ Maxx, Marshall's, Ross. Yeah, go there. Then we have Givenchy Lancre d'Or Eau de Toilette. And apparently this was made for Audrey Hepburn. It was her go-to scent. Then you have Calvin Klein's Eternity. Now I need to revisit this scent because when I sprayed this in Ulta, it smelled straight up like hospital. Like it was very, very antiseptic. I don't know if the bottle had gone off. It was gross. It was like alcohol, antiseptic. I didn't know if I was gonna, you know, get scrubbed up for heart surgery or if I was gonna buy a lipstick. You know, it was just, it was a lot. And it's weird because the description, I'm just gonna read this straight from the Southern Living. It's inspired by the ideal of lasting love and intimacy. The scent by Calvin Klein combines classic contemporary notes for a truly timeless fragrance. Okay, that was very vague. But I did not get lasting love and intimacy. I got Band-Aids and alcohol, you know, rubbing alcohol, stitches, and, you know, operating theater when I smelled this. Now, again, I would have to revisit that because I've heard when it came out, it was very nice. Maybe that bottle was off in Ulta. I don't know. All right. After that, we got Ralph Lauren Romance. You got musk and delicate lily and white florals. And it's a nice fragrance. I think I wore that one when I got married. I say I think because I've always been into perfume, but I feel like it's only been in the past few years where my enthusiasm for it has been rekindled. I've always had multiple bottles, but I went through a long time where I didn't really buy anything new. And when we lived in our apartment prior to moving into the house that we live in now, I think I had gotten rid of two of my dressers and we just used the closet for our clothes, like really downsized. And before, all of my perfumes were on my dressers, but then when we moved, we got rid of my dressers, they were in a box in the closet, like a moving box in the closet. And I would go and still wear them, but I didn't wear them probably as much during that time because I just didn't want to have to dig through. So I literally think when I got married, I just dug through my perfume box and was like, romance, perfect. But it is very pretty scent. Then we have Chanel No. 5, Eau de Parfum. We all know probably how this smells, it's very notorious fragrance, arguably the most famous fragrance of Chanel No. 5. I personally can't do it. I like the low better, but you know, you do you, boo, if that's your thing. And then we have Juliet Has a Gun, Not a Perfume. Yeah. They say it's got the one note. Was it Ambroxan? I don't know. And they say it's the ideal choice for people who prefer subtlety over complexity in a fragrance. I would say you can find that in a fragrance that doesn't cost $100. That's my biggest gripe with Juliet Has a Gun. It's so, I know some people like it. And again, no shade if you do. My gripe is the price and for what you get. I don't think it's worth $100. I feel like you can probably find, I feel like buy the pheromone oil for $15 that Anna from The Bachelor wore. You know, like I just feel like you can find things that are like you but better perfumes for cheaper. All right. After that, we've got Dolce & Gabbana Light Blue, EDT. There's a classic for a reason. It's citrus. It's light. It's fresh. Yeah, it doesn't last as long because it's an EDT, but honestly, it's so good, you can just reapply. And if you overspray, it'll last you pretty good amount. Don't buy it for $85 at Sephora.com though, because again, that's another one that you can find any discounter, Groupon, just hella cheap. After that, we've got Philosophy Pure Grace. They say it's crisp, pure, and clean are what reviewers have described this perfume. Pure Grace or Amazing Grace? One of the samples in the Sephora sampler set that Jenna got me a while back had one of these Philosophy perfumes. I think it was Amazing Grace. But anyway, it was light. It was soft. Hell, buy this over freaking Juliet Has a Gun, Not a Perfume. And then last but not least, we can't get away without throwing a Jo Malone London fragrance on here, because why not? Her Earl Grey and Cucumber Cologne. It's got bergamot and cucumber with a sweet base of beeswax, vanilla, and musk. I mean, we all know my gripes with Jo Malone. I think they're overpriced. The fragrances are not exciting. And they don't last very long for what you pay for it. I think the fragrances work better as like candles, diffusers, home fragrances, more so than fragrances that you would wear on your skin. I just find them to be kind of boring and uninspired, but hey, that's just me. And that wraps up fragrance in the news. Like I said before, links to all of these articles will be in the show notes, as well as on the blog and easier to read, clickable format. So check it out there and let me know what you think of these perfumes, if you agree with any of these listicles. And there you have it. That wraps up this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, for sticking around. If you are a new listener, welcome. I hope that I didn't put you off too much with my ramblings. If you've been around for a while, thank you as well. I do appreciate you tuning in each week. If you want to connect with me online, you can do so on Instagram. I'm at Pino and Perfume there. I also have a blog. Jesus, I blanked out. I have a blog on WordPress, pinoperfume.wordpress.com. You can email the show pinoandperfumepodcast@gmail.com. And if you use Peloton, I haven't been working out a lot lately, but that's hashtag pinoandperfume there if you just want to be workout buddies. If the spirit moves you and you would like to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, I would love that. It just helps more people learn about the show. And last but not least, if you love Emily in Paris or you love to hate Emily in Paris, I have a second podcast that I co-host with my friend Jenna called Savoir Shade. It's an Emily in Paris recap podcast. We only got one season because that's only the only season of Emily in Paris that's up. I think that they're still wrapping up season 2 production or whatever. COVID kind of threw us all off there. But we have all of season 1 up, as well as a bonus episode, because we recorded this fall and Christmas. And we reviewed one of those like shitty Hallmark Christmas movies. Excuse me. So that's there. As always, I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your weekend. I hope that whatever you are doing, you are having fun, you are being safe, but most important, you are smelling good. Bye.
Pinot and Perfume is hosted and produced by yours truly, Sarah Chacon. Theme music is Around the Bend by Evan Schaefer.